Well, one time in Pennsylvania, did Tim Coffey ever come to visit in Pennsylvania and play guitar? Was it some other guy? I remember there was a bunch of people. It was like you guys were all hanging around. You know, like the big downstairs living room that had like the windows?
Yeah.
Like this and the deck off it? Yeah. There were a few people from InSoft were down there. Mm-hmm. And there was some other people down there, I think from work and your family and stuff. And I don't remember if Tim Coffey had come to visit or there was somebody else there that played guitar. And I remember just listening to them play, and you could just see the way that Dan played music. By the way, it's a little skip back. Dan was in a band in college. It's spinning off to a different story now, but it's not that long. He had a roommate, and I can't even remember the guy's name, but his nickname was Joe College. And they rented a house, Steve Sanford, Joe College, and Dan, down near Matunic. Not the one in Matunic, but near Matunic. It's kind of like a raised ranch. And Dan played guitar, and this guy played bass guitar and trombone. And Dan knew this other guitarist that he really looked up to, and I can't remember what his name was. Seems to me that Dan said the guy was so good that he played left-handed, even though he was right-handed, just because he wanted to. That's how good of a guitarist he was. And they got a drummer together, I think, which is another one of Dan's roommates from another house in Matunic. And they actually played a couple of gigs around. I think they named themselves Rhode Island Reef, and that was Joe College's, again, can't remember his real name, because he wanted to capitalize on the name Rhode Island before anybody else did. And they played a couple of gigs. One time they played in a place called Harpo's in Newport, which was like a pretty famous small style blues club, blues jazz club in Newport on some back alley that some pretty famous people played at. And I remember that they went in there, like the local stars, young adults and stuff, paid there, some blues guys. And they were playing in there, and they did a pretty good set. And I remember I was a bouncer at the door collecting money because they didn't have like a formal structure or anything. And I remember people coming in and paying their cover charge and then leaving after and saying, wow, this band is really great, and stuff like that. So that's one time they played in a band. Another time they played in this bar down by Third Beach, or is it First Beach? Third Beach in Newport, called Bojangles. And what Dan and this other guy did with their band is they decided they were going to play three different sets, but each band would have three different, each time they played a set, they'd change their clothes, and they'd have a different title. I don't know if they're trying to pass themselves off as three different bands or what. One of them was Rhode Island Reef, and I think they all wore like Hawaiian shirts and stuff like that, straw hats. Another one is they played like reggae music or something like that. So they went off and they took a break. Then they came on and did another set. I don't remember the order. And they called themselves the Shades. So they were all wearing like these cool, dark-looking clothes, and they all had these big sunglasses on. And they played like more like cool music. Like they played a different kind of music. They looked different and everything else. And I can't remember what the name of the third set was, where there was a different name and a different outfit and everything else. And Dan and the other guy were playing guitar, just jamming off each other incredibly. It was really fantastic. I don't know if it was like Neil Young going off Stephen Stills or Jerry Garcia going off Bob Weir. They both played lead and they both played rhythm, sometimes at the same time, and it just sounded really good. And a final note to this particular show at this bar was, I remember Joe College came out with a trombone during some song, and he started to play the trombone, and it was really terrible. It just sounded terrible because they're playing all this great music, and he couldn't even play it that well. Anyway, that's a final note on that. One more gig that they played that I attended was a place, well, a couple others in URI and stuff like that, that I don't remember the details. They also played this bar in Bristol, and I can't remember the name of it, but this is like the first time where they actually filled up the place. A lot of tables, a lot of people playing cover charge and stuff. And I remember that night they played a really great set. And I remember them playing like a rock version of I Fought the Law, But the Law Won. Not like a punk rock version, but a rock version. They jammed on it. And it sounded really, really good. And I mean, they were the main band for the night. And that was, I'd say, and if you came into the bar that night, you would think that they were all professional musicians. The guy didn't play trombone that night. They just played, they were one, I think it was Rhode Island Reef. They didn't bother changing their name or anything else, and they played that night, and you would expect to see them on tour of like New England or something like that. They were really good. So that was a tangent off. What was the story I was telling in the beginning? Let's see.
In Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, back to Pennsylvania. Onto the whole jamming and how we played with other people, and that's what this whole kind of thing brought up. It's one thing, to me, it's one thing to be a musician and you can sit there, like if you're a classical piano player, and you can do your stuff and you can do it perfect and just make it sound perfect. But as soon as you start to play with another musician that you have to play off of, it's one thing if you're like the impresario and everybody has to keep up with you and everything else. But Dan Stahl was like giving and taking, so he could play great by himself. But when he's playing with other musicians, he did that thing like the Grateful Dead. If you ever see Bob and Jerry look at each other when they're getting ready to change songs, they go like this, what are we gonna do now? And they play a couple of notes, they go into something else. And Dan would do that with other people. He did it on the stage. He did it in the living room that night. And I wish I could remember who he was playing with. But we're just sitting around, two people playing acoustic guitars, and everybody's kind of quiet. And Dan would kind of like put his head down and look at the other guy, like, where do you want to go now? Dan would give him a hint, and the other guy would take it or not. And then I remember one time Dan was just like saying, like showing the guy's fingers, okay, we're going to go here now. And then they went off on that tangent. So the thing about Dan that really, again, impressed me was the fact that his ability to play by himself and all that kind of stuff, and he sang too, but being able to play off of other musicians, I thought was just, and to be able to take it to other places. It almost ties back to how we listen to jazz and classical and folk rock or whatever you want to call it back then, and just blending all different styles and not playing a certain way, but to use a cliche, much like the Grateful Dead, letting the music kind of take you along to where it's going to go. And I have other friends that play instruments, and the other example, Tim Coffey, he's very rigid. He knows what he's going to be playing 3.5 minutes from now. He doesn't jam. Dan jams, loves it, loves to go along with that, go with the flow, and it's just really, really cool. Any questions on that one?
Oh, that was perfect.
All right.